If a whiskey glass and a cigarette seem to fit your hand, if a turn or two out on the dance floor makes you feel young again, if you can't see your troubles by the glow of a neon light, come on in, you're in the right place tonight.
Good morning, sweet, beautiful Texas. The music of Zane Williams getting things started for us on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, presented by Lone Star Beer and Hoff Power Polaris. I'm your host, Cable Smith, and I know I'm in the right place talking hunting, fishing, the great outdoors, and all that implies with you folks this morning. We've got a great show lined up for you, so pull up that stool a little closer to the old campfire. Pour yourself another cup of coffee out of that beat-up old thermos, because we've got a ton to get into. And off the top, we'll talk flounder and spotted sea trout with our Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director, Robin Rikers. There's some proposed regulation changes we need to get into regarding those fisheries. Then a real treat as Bassmaster Classic champ Randy Howell drops by to give us the details on how he just pulled off the greatest comeback in Bassmaster Classic history 2 weeks ago. So obviously very excited about that. Then we'll change it up and talk spring turkey with our Texas Parks and Wildlife Turkey Program Leader, Jason Harden, a good friend of the show. He'll give us his thoughts and predictions on the upcoming spring turkey season, which, by the way, opens up in the South Zone next weekend. It's right around the corner. And to say that I'm looking forward to spring turkey hunting would be a gross understatement. So we'll visit with Jason Harden here shortly. Then we'll round out the broadcast by talking some hog dogging with our friends Chris Wilson and Cassidy Ballantyne of Two Rivers Hunting Adventures, whom we had the pleasure of doing a dog and knife hog hunt with last weekend. So get ready, because it's going to be intense and maybe even a little bloody. Who knows? But that's what's coming up on the show. We'll be all over the map, a pretty diverse lineup for today. A couple other things to mention here. Don't forget that the Frost Bank 12th Annual Sporting Clays Challenge is coming up April 12th at Elm Fork Shooting Sports. And of course, this event benefits the children of Buckner Children's Homes. So come on out, shoot for a great cause, get your team entered today. We'll be out there with the team, really looking forward to supporting Buckner Children's Home. And it's a great thing that Frost Bank does every year. Also, our March Photo of the Month contest going on right now. We're taking entries. This month's grand prize is a Garmin Verb action camera. Garmin just released the Verb, and let me tell you, if you think a GoPro is sweet, you haven't seen the Verb yet, because it's going to make some pretty stiff competition. So send us your best outdoor photo to LoneStarOutdoorsShow@gmail.com for your chance to be entered into this month's contest. And then our 2014 Photo of the Year contest, that's where our 12 monthly winners will compete for a chance to join me down at Coons Canyon Ranch in Rock Springs, Texas. You'll get to hunt black buck or axis deer with me down there at one of my absolute favorite places to hunt in all of the Lone Star State. Absolutely beautiful ranch. So send in your best outdoor photo for not only a chance to win the Garmin Verb action camera is our March Photo of the Month winner, but also for a chance to join me on our exotic Photo of the Year grand prize hunt down at Coons Canyon Ranch. What else? Let's do a quick giveaway. I've got a $25 Cabela's gift card. We'll give it away to the first person to text in the word Cabela's. That's Cabela's to 214-289-7807 when you hear Whiskey Myers on this morning's broadcast. That's right. When you hear the music of Whiskey Myers, text in the word Cabela's to 214-289-7807. And we'll send you this $25 Cabela's gift card. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk specs and flounder with our Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director, Robin Rikers. You're listening to Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Looking back on the lessons he taught me throughout the years. Keep your word as your bond. Keep your chin up, whether good or bad. Son, this is your dad.
Rockwall Gun Club is North Texas' premier shooting facility, offering both indoor and outdoor ranges, including a unique 500-yard rifle range. If shotgunning's your thing, then check out the 18-station clay course. Opening summer 2014, Rockwall Gun Club is offering special introductory, family, and corporate membership rates for founding members. Located at 15950 State Highway 205, you can also visit rockwallgunclub.com or call 972-215-6902. Rockwall Gun Club, the private shooting experience.
At Frost, we could talk to you about our 24/7 online banking. Or we could talk to you about our more than 1,100 ATMs across Texas. We can even talk to you about our mobile banking app that lets you pay bills, transfer funds, and deposit checks from anywhere. But at the end of the day, there's nothing we enjoy more than to just talk to you.
Thank you for calling Frost. How may I help you?
We're here with the technology and convenience you want and the service you deserve. Frost. Banking, investments, insurance.
If you're in the market for a firearm, you need to know about STI International. Based out of Georgetown, Texas, they're 100% employee-owned and offer the best warranty and customer service in the business. STI is renowned worldwide for exceptional fit and function. The patented 2011 high-capacity system proved so successful in shooting competitions that over 80% of competitors used STI guns or pistols built on STI frames at the USPSA National Championships. To see their full line of premier pistols, visit STIguns.com or check them out on Facebook at STI Firearms. STI, the continuing evolution of the 1911. Howdy, outdoorsmen. Whether you're looking for the ideal place to customize your everyday truck or your ranch 4x4, Lone Star Conversions can do it all. Specializing in custom Jeeps, trucks, exterior liners, spray and bed liners, lift kits, bumpers, and lights, it's our purpose to provide customers with the most unique, best-valued conversions anywhere. Stop in and see us at our convenient location off of Highway 380 in Denton or call us at 940-484-5500. Of course, you can also check us out at LoneStarJeeps.com. Larson Electronics is a Texas-based lighting company that's been outfitting the United States military since the 1960s, and while they continue to support our troops, they also now have over 200 lights ideal for your hunting and fishing needs, like the 35-watt HID Camouflage Go Light Striker with remote that's 15 million candle power in the palm of your hand. Ideal for predator and hog hunting, they also have remote-controlled floodlights, feeder lights, and LED boat lights. Visit LarsonElectronics.com and go Texan with Larson Electronics for all your lighting needs.
Because the weather's nice and the water's right. Man, I could fish here all damn night. When you had a bad day and your mind is in a haze, you can clear your head in the salt water bays.
Saltwater Bays is the name of that one from our good friend Brandon Key, bringing us back on Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, presented by Lone Star Beer and Hoff Power Polaris. I'm your host, Cable Smith. Thank you so much for sharing a part of your weekend with me. I sincerely appreciate you, as we're actually about to talk a little saltwater fishing here. We've got some proposed regulation changes to get into with our Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director. But first, this segment of the show is proudly brought to you by Lone Star Beer. Let me tell you, there's no better way to celebrate tight lines, full stringers, and a great day spent out on the water than with an ice-cold Lone Star Beer. Lone Star Beer, the national beer of Texas. Well, without further ado, let's go ahead and welcome back an old friend. If it has to do with saltwater fishing in Texas, he's the man to talk to, our Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director, Robin Rikers. Always a pleasure, sir.
Oh, well, glad I could be here. Glad you're having me on.
Well, it's always great to visit with you. And before we talk about today's topic, I did want to ask, did you have a chance to get out and do much hunting or fishing this fall? I know that you've got a couple kiddos who probably are always begging Dad to take them out.
Well, as I think I shared with you last time we visited about this, we don't get out as much as we'd like to and certainly as much as they'd like to go, but we got out a little bit. Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. That's what it's all about, my friend. And Robin, if you and I are visiting, then we're talking saltwater fishing. You guys just finished up your annual meetings where, proposed regulation changes are brought to the table, and I honestly don't remember the official name of those meetings.
Well, it's what we call our statewide hunting and fishing proclamation process, and as you know, our license year and our process kind of runs from September 1 to August 31st, and we start that process with biologist meetings basically the summer before, and it leads to proposals in November to go to the commission We hold those scoping meetings, as we call them, where we come out and talk to people about those changes. And then there'll be formal proposals for change in January. And that's kind of where we are right now. That occurred in January, and we'll be out for public hearings on those proposed changes here in the next few weeks.
Okay, and one of the proposed regulation changes focuses on spotted sea trout, one of Texas' most sought-after saltwater species. And there's a lot of passion from both sides of the fence when folks start talking about changing regulations regarding this very valuable fishery. And I'll let you expand on it, but essentially it's extending the 5 fish a day bag limit up through the Matagorda Bay coast with a 5-year sunset date. And you know, people sometimes get ticked off when you talk about cutting their bag limit in half.
Yeah, you know, we've had that 5-fish bag limit in the lower Laguna Madre now for several years. And of course, a lot of folks have in Texas fish down there and have an opportunity to fish down there. And it's worked well down there. And certainly as we looked at the spotted sea trout fishery in that mid-coast area, in years past, we've had some concern over recruitment. We've been watching that fishery very closely, and these provisions would basically allow us to gain some biological benefits. And so the commission asked that we do consider that as a proposal, and we're looking at that all the way up to, as you suggested, through Matagorda Bay. It would exclude Galveston and Sabine. They would remain the way they are with the 10-fish bag limit, but that 5-fish bag limit basically would extend from the lower Laguna Madre now all the way through the Matagorda Bay system.
And that's with a 5-year sunset date.
So. With a 5-year sunset date, absolutely, yes.
Okay. Well, Robin, I did hear from a few different people, actually, that there might have been an attempt to actually make this a statewide proposal, but it was originally met with so much resistance that that idea was scrapped.
Well, and certainly anytime, you know, there's reasons to look at consistency across the entire state, obviously for simplification and so forth, but recognizing that the mid-coast systems seem to be the ones that have had more of the recruitment issues in the past, recognizing that as we talked with people in the scoping process, there was probably less resistance and even support for that notion through that mid-coast area and less support in Galveston and Sabine, the decision was made to, at this point, look at it through that FM 457 bridge there south of Sargent, through that Matagorda Bay system. And so, certainly we have lots of precedent for differential regulations, whether it be on the coast or whether it be in inland reservoirs or in different counties for different things. So I think it's just recognizing that those different systems can produce different animals and different production levels, and also recognizing that the stressors on some of those mid-coast systems, given rainfall and such, may be a little bit greater than you might see in some of those upper coast areas as well.
Yeah, and I was just curious because our good friend Captain Lynn Girard provides our monthly coastal fishing report, and he covers a good amount of territory all the way from Corpus up past Baffin all the way to the land cut. And, he said, last year was about as good as it gets, probably the best year of trout fishing they'd had in 2 decades.
Well, and I think one of the things we have tried to let folks know, you know, we're not in what you would call a overfishing condition as we define it through modeling and so forth. We're in our spotted sea trout fishery is doing a good job right now, but can it do better? Yes. The modeling suggests we can even improve the overall health of the fishery. And we can certainly improve what people get to take home if we consider these steps. And so, it's basically going to produce a reduction in landings, but an increase in overall spawning stock biomass and an increase in the overall population if we would take these steps. So, there are benefits that we can gain here.
Well, Robin, for folks who make a living off of the coastal fishery, do you foresee these proposed regulation changes having a negative economic impact?
It always comes up when we have discussions about rule changes, and probably the best case scenario I can look at is what happened in the lower Laguna Madre in looking at that to some degree. That came up as a concern as well, but at the end of the day, it didn't seem to have those negative impacts. And in fact, some people might even argue that it had positive impacts over the long haul here. So the thing about it is we've got a lot of anglers here in the state of Texas. We've got a lot of coastal anglers, near 1 million anglers. And a lot of people are looking to get out, and whether it's that trip to fish from a pier or a jetty, or take a wading trip, or to go offshore, we got a lot of participation. So I don't really think it's going to have those kinds of impacts.
Well, Robin, something else I wanted to ask you, and a lot of folks have wanted me to propose this question to you. Any plans to reopen Cedar Bayou, because that's really an amazing fishery, and it's a shame that it's been closed.
Well, as I understand it, in the permitting process, the county did receive their permit, and so where I believe it stands in process is they are still looking to basically start that project, hopefully, in the course of the next year.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's on track.
Awesome. Well, hey, one other thing to hit on here before I let you go, some proposed flounder regulation changes, and I'll let you hit on those.
Yeah, similar to spotted sea trout in that same kind of process. Each year, and especially we look at those fish that we might have had some concern over in flounder. As you remember, we passed some rules in 2009 where we closed November to basically reduce the bag limit in November from on the commercial side from 30 fish to 2, and on the recreational side from 5 to 2. And then we in addition to that, we said you can only take them by rod and reel. And so we were looking at extending that time frame, at the end of November or in front of November, to basically help with that escapement from the bays to the Gulf, maybe have that escapement, have that escapement where there's less fishing pressure for a longer period of time. And we had seen some really big gains with that rule change that we made in 2009, but unfortunately in the last 2 years, those gains seemed to dissipate. And so in attempting to maybe get those gains again and hopefully hold them at that higher level, we were looking at different ways to do that. And one way is that extension of 2 weeks into December that we've now proposed. And in that particular time, though, they would allow those two fish to be taken by any means, either gig or rod and reel. And so that was kind of a compromise on that whole gig versus rod and reel issue and how you might go forward with that. And so that's the proposal, is 2 weeks into December, again, adding that protection at what we feel is just a really critical time for those fish to escape to the Gulf and spawn. And so, again, like all of our rules, we would, if it passes, we'll continue to monitor it closely. And, we might complement that with other rule changes if we don't get the benefits that we see, or we might, it may give us everything we need and we may be able to stabilize it at those higher levels again.
Well, Robin, whether our listeners agree or disagree, or whether I agree or disagree for that matter, I know that you guys always have the best interest of not only the anglers, but also the fishery at heart. And man, I just appreciate all the hard work that you guys do. There's so many success stories with not only our coastal fisheries, but our inland fisheries as well. So I know you guys work hard, and you really are looking out for us. Thanks again. Always great to visit with you, and I look forward to our next chat.
Well, I certainly appreciate being here and having a chance to visit with you. And like you indicated, we would hope that everyone looks at it as it's for the fishery and it's for future generations. And we certainly appreciate you helping us get the word out to anglers.
Hey, you've always got an open door right here, my friend. Robin, thanks again for your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, I appreciate it, Cable. Thank you.
All right, there he goes, our Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director, Robin Rikers. Don't forget that there is a full schedule of public hearings listed on Texas Parks and Wildlife's website. So if you want to give your feedback to TPWD, you can do so by attending one of those meetings. They're pretty much happening in every area of the state here in the month of March. You can also call your regional biologist and give them your comments. I promise you they will get those comments forwarded on to the right person. And then you can also comment right there on Texas Parks and Wildlife's website as well. So anyway, moving on here, that segment proudly brought to you by STI Guns, Texas made and Texas proud. They've got a full lineup of 1911 and 2011 style pistols in all calibers. So when you're looking for your next pistol, do what I did. Check them out at STIguns.com, and go Texan, go STI. Well, let's knock out a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by the man who sits atop the world of professional bass fishing. Our 2014 Bassmaster Classic champion, Randy Howell, joins us. You're listening to Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Back, mend your broken wings and send you on your way. Would you stay right? Baby, would you stay right here?
Did you know there's a bank that will pay you to be its customer? That's right. Lone Star Ag Credit is a cooperative, and since it's owned by its stockholders, pays millions in dividends each year. That's free money to every borrower. Lone Star Ag Credit serves people all over Northeast Texas, assuring you competitive interest rates on real estate loans, rural home loans, livestock and farm and ranch loans. Contact Lone Star Ag Credit today at 800-530-1252 or on the web at lonestaragcredit.com. Equal housing lender.
Hey friends, Cable Smith here for DFW Safes. We all know that our guns are a big part of our lives, from grandfather's old 12-gauge to that trusty tack driver of a deer rifle. And DFW Safes is North Texas' premier safe dealer, specializing in Rhino, Bighorn, Huntsman, Heritage, and Fortress safes, to name a few. They're family-owned and operated and have over 24 years' experience in the safe and installation business. They even have commercial safes for your business and scratch-and-dent safes for the most frugal of gun owners. Visit dfwsafes.com to set up your delivery today. That's dfwsafes.com or call 817-715-1068. At LSC Trailer Sales, we offer a full line of utility trailers, from small single axle trailers to heavy equipment trailers, ATV trailers, car haulers, landscape trailers, cargo trailers, truck beds, and more. We can special order a custom trailer specific to your needs and have the ability to customize standard models in-house. LSC Trailer Sales is here to assist you with any questions you might have about trailers. Call 940-484-5500 or visit us at lsctrailersales.com. Finally, quality trailers at affordable prices in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Hey y'all, Cable Smith here for Tioga Retrievers. As bird hunters, we expect the most out of our gun dogs. And that's why I sent my sweet girl Belle to Angie and Tim Becker at Tioga Retrievers. Not only were her manners and obedience spot on in the blind and in the field, but Belle picked up over 200 birds in her first season. So whether you want a well-rounded hunting dog or just a well-mannered companion for the home, Tioga Retrievers has you covered. Located in Aubrey, Texas, visit TiogaRetrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A Retrievers.com.
Coons Canyon Ranch in Rock Springs, Texas specializes in exotics such as axis deer and black buck. Coons Canyon offers quality animals at a price the working man can afford. Right now, save 10% on any package of multiple animals. Military personnel, police, and firefighters also get 10% off. Lodging is available upon request, as are other exotic species. Visit CoonsCanyonRanch.com for your next exotic trophy hunt. That's CoonsCanyonRanch.com.
Hey everybody, it's Andrew Zimmern from Bizarre Foods on the Travel Channel. Thanks for listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show. And remember, if it looks good, eat it.
Somewhere in East Texas, you're out alone. Well, I can't dry your tears on the telephone.
The music of Whisk Myers bringing us back on Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris and Lone Star Beer. I'm Cable Smith, riding shotgun with you on this beautiful Texas morning. A far cry from that Arctic blast that we got last weekend, anyway. We're about to talk some big bass here, but first, this segment is proudly brought to you by Rudy's Barbecue, where you can stop in for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and be sure to visit the newest location in front of the Cabela's in Allen, Texas, Rudy's. True Texas-style barbecue. Well, let's go ahead and bring on our next guest here. He's got to be riding high, having just won the Super Bowl of pro bass fishing and a cool $300,000 paycheck. Randy Howell, our 2014 Bassmaster Classic champion, thanks for dropping in, man.
Man, it's great to be here, guys. How you been doing?
Well, we certainly can't complain, but we're not doing as good as you, man. Congrats on winning the Bassmaster Classic. I'm sure this is a lifelong dream come true for you.
Man, it's been a long time coming, and been waiting a long time for it, and it's just really still like a dream. And these last couple weeks have just been the busiest we've ever had, but at the same time, been the most humbling days of my life, just with all the support from fans from all over the country on Facebook and Twitter and website and, you know, appearances at different places, Cabela's, all the places I've been lately. They've really been, it's just really been an amazing outpouring of support, and it just really, really humbles me to be the guy that's getting to represent our sport as the Classic champion this year.
Well, let's just say that it was well-earned, and we'll get into the details momentarily, but, you know, you became just the second angler ever to win the Bassmaster Classic in their home state. What did that mean for you to win on Lake Gunnersville?
Yeah, that was that's kind of neat. You know, there's so many things that came along and happened, you know, all perfectly timing-wise to accomplish a lot of goals all in that same day. It's just amazing how it works. But the biggest thing to me was being able to really represent there in Birmingham with the King's Home kids and the charity that we give the boat away for. We just, you know, this is like, it's like a great big family, and those supporters there watching me, you know, just to make the dream come true in front of them right there in Birmingham just made it a life-changing moment.
Well, it's a heck of a deal, man, that's for sure. Now, the 2013 Elite Series season kind of got off to a rough start for you. You ended up doing very well, a couple top tens there at the end of the season, and actually double qualified for this year's Classic, something that not a lot of anglers can say they did.
Yeah, mate, I won the Northern Open first, and then that gave me an automatic buy-in, and then that actually kind of catapulted my confidence, really, and helped me fish better, and I got three in the last four top tens in the elite side, and I came back up and finished in the 20s, and double qualified, so it allowed for Trevor Bannis, my buddy, he got in off the double qualification, so that worked out good for all of us.
right on.
Yeah, it's good. It's good that they do that, allow that, you know, double qualifying thing. They kind of help give more emphasis to the Elite Series guys, just because of, you know, we spend so much money, you know, investment into it for the whole year to be in it. So anytime there's a, you know, a double qualifier or something like that, they'll take the next guy down the Elite Series. So I think they ended up going, Urbanus may have been 38th or 39th or something down the points. Mm-hmm. And that got an extra guy in. So I'm glad it worked out that way. And it made me feel better to qualify, you know, like that as well, because, you know, we have a lot of pride in our work all year, and you want to do the best you can for your sponsors. And anytime to qualify, I really want to qualify to be in the Classic more than just get one win and get lucky and get in there. You know, so it made me feel better, kind of as a personal note, to be able to do both.
Well, Randy, how are you feeling leading up to that Friday morning launch? You know, you guys had your practice fishing rounds. I believe the last one was on Wednesday. Friday morning comes around. What was your mindset like?
Well, I tell you, it was the toughest practice I've ever had in a Bassmaster Classic. We had a three-day practice period on the weekend and the weekend prior. And those 3 days, the water was 40 to 42 degrees and very dirty and just not a very good looking place. I had 5 bites in 3 days. Ugh. And I really didn't have a good game plan at all. And I was pretty nervous going into the midweek practice. And I knew that Wednesday, the one official day of practice, was going to be very, very important to try to put something together. And so that was the day that I started running around and kind of trying a lot of different stuff and started going a lot shallower and fishing the places that I thought the fish were going to come to, because the warming trend was happening real fast during that week, and I knew those fish were wanting to come up. And that, just getting a few bites that day, you know, in the back of a creek helped me a little bit, you know. But then that night we had that flood come in and muddy the water up, and that really changed things. And it's probably one of the best things that ever happened to me, because I didn't have a good game plan yet, and a lot of guys that did have a good game plan, it kind of ruined it and changed it. And for me, it made me continue to, you know, to hunt and look and work and keep staying open-minded the next day when the tournament started on Friday to really, you know, start putting the puzzle together. And that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, Randy, because we did a Bassmaster Classic midweek special with our good friend and Elite Series angler Kelly Jordan. He didn't qualify for this year's Classic, but Kelly was, you know, touching base with a lot of his good buddies, like Gary Klein, for instance. And Kelly said, look out for Gary, man. He's got it figured out. But I guess when the conditions changed, you know, it left folks like Gary kind of, you know, scrambling, and it really helped you come up with a game plan.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, and it's bad as it is, you know, it always, somebody's always got to have bad luck and somebody's always going to have good luck in every tournament. You know, I've been on the other side more than I have this side this time, but it was really neat how the whole event transpired, because as I started going back to just kind of fishing simple, you know, the first tournament day, I didn't fish complicated. I didn't try to fish offshore. I mean, I know a lot of offshore, you know, ledges and drops and places on the main river there in Guntersville that I had planned on fishing, and those places just totally got wiped out with the cold winter. The grass was gone, and then the water got muddy and current got bad. And usually when that happens on that lake, I've been up there enough times to know that, you know, those Tennessee River bass are current related fish. They like current, and they like bridges, and they like riprap. And, you know, you just put that mix together with the warming trend and the colored water coming into the back of those creeks, and it warmed that water up 5 to 7 degrees just in like the next day because of that rain. The rain was like 65 degree rain we had that night. And that's what, you know, that whole mixture, man, that morning I started Friday morning, my confidence level just was really high. And it's just hard to explain, you know, and I know the whole puzzle of God, you know, God was in control, letting it all happen, and was, you know, for my good, because it was all His time and it meant to be. But I know that was all part of that puzzle coming together, was that weather and everything changing like it did.
Well, Randy, overall, do you think that the competitors in BASS were happy with the show that Lake Guntersville put on? I mean, there were still some record-breaking weights despite the conditions. Paul Miller's day two sack of 32 pounds, 3 ounces, heaviest one-day sack ever weighed in at a Bassmaster Classic. Then you take your 29-pound, 2-ounce day three sack. I mean, that's the heaviest sack you've weighed in your 21-year career.
It turned out still being a good, you know, some good weights. But, you know, the build-up for this Classic was a whole lot more hype than the lake turned out for us. But it was all because of the conditions that happened. We had, like, that was probably the worst a bunch of things combined to happen to make that event not be as record-breaking weight-wise as we could ever had. You know, having that super cold freeze, you know, 2 weeks prior when the water, all the creeks were frozen over, and the shad died, the whole lake had a real big shad kill, and then the grass died off too, and it just scattered fish. And then we started with the event, you know, having muddy water, current, and cold water, and that just kept so many of those big fat females from coming up and feeding until that last day. And I mean, looking back, like yesterday, I've been working shows every weekend, but one of my buddies texted me from there and said, an event the weekend prior, last weekend, the guys had 39 pounds with 5 fish at 1, and the whole top 10 had like 28 pounds to 39 pounds. So that's the kind of weights we were thinking were going to happen, but we were just a little too early for it with the weather. But I'm glad it happened, because I would have never won with the weight I won with had it been, you know, up to par.
Sure, sure. Well, Randy, let's talk about that riprap that you mentioned that Lake Guntersville is so famous for, and your understanding of how those big fish relate to that structure is really why you ended up winning this Classic. So break that down for us.
That lake, as well as a lot of lakes probably all over the country, you can kind of compare to any time, you know, February especially is a month that, you know, the cold water fish won't warm water, and when we have a cold winter, they're always going to relate to rock, you know, earlier than they will anything else. And rock of any kind, not just bluff rock, but rock on those riprap, they just draw heat, and it's just a textbook thing. They draw heat, fish always are going to be on them, and shad are going to come on them a lot too, and then that's going to draw the fish. And that's what made the riprap on Guntersville so good, because all the riprap are surrounded by deep water, and a lot of those shad that died off out in the creeks in the shallow water were gone, and there's no food there anymore for them other than the shad that had all piled up in the deep water around those bridges. And that's how they wintered in those cold weather, you know, cold weather, and they didn't die out. So every bridge, every riprap I went around and practiced my graph, you know, the Lowrance structure scan, side scan, I could just scan across down those riprap as I fished them, and you can see out 15, 20 foot of water, the shad were just piled up on the bottom. And you could see fish all in them, and I know they were bass just sitting down there in them, and you could throw a swim bait in them or do whatever you wanted. You couldn't catch a fish in it because it was cold and dirty. But I knew eventually with that current and that warming trend, those fish were going to start to move up and push those shad up on those rocks. And that's kind of how I put my game plan together as the event progressed. And it was just a matter of time and place to get the bigger fish to bite. And that last day decision to turn back around and go to the Spring Creek one, panned out because traditionally, history plays out. So many tournaments have been won in that area, and there's so many big fish caught in that area. And I've caught a lot of big fish in that area on those rocks over the last 2 or 3 years of going up there in the winter, just fishing, breaking my boat in, doing things like that. And so it just the perfect ingredient. It all panned out at the right time to catch those big stringers on that riprap.
Well, like we mentioned, 29 pounds, 2 ounces, that was your day 3 weight, the heaviest sack you've ever brought in a 21-year career. Randy, you were culling 4-pound bass pretty early on in the morning, man.
Man, yeah, it was definitely a dream day. It was the best day I've ever had, and it was so many. There were so many big fish and fish in general on that riprap that morning and down off the drop that I just never seen so many fish on my side scan, just watching them coming up and down. You could just see them streaking up and down through there. I had the hydro wave turned up pretty loud, just calling them up, and you could see the streaks and noodles under the graph the whole time just because they were feeding so heavy. And then that was the morning, while it was shady and dark, and the current was running pretty hard, and they were just schooling up on those corners. And then it's about 9 o'clock in the morning, it slowed down after I caught 20 or 25 fish probably, and had probably 22 pounds. And when it slowed down, I saw the fish. They weren't streaking around on the graph anymore. They were down there sitting on the bottom right on the edge of where the rocks were, like 10 feet deep. So I backed out, and that's when I tied on the Livingston crankbait that I had down there. I didn't even know I had because I had gotten it at media day and hadn't had a chance to practice or use it yet. But it was that orange-red, Gunnersville crawl color that we needed for that muddy water. That was the key in the muddy water, was having a color and having something that they could hear and feel down there deeper. And as soon as I tied it on, it was the best. It was just the best, thing ever to have a bait, have the right bait at the right place at the right time, and tie it on. And immediately I started catching fish on it. And from like 9:15 that morning all the way the rest of the day, I probably caught 40 more keepers on it, and a bunch of 4-plus pounders. I ended up, the last two I threw back that day were right around 5 pounds apiece. And I've only done that in a couple times in my whole career. So it's just amazing when a whole plan comes together and, pulls out, and the right guys ahead of me to have off days where I was able to make that move and come back and get the win.
Yeah, and that new Livingston lure you were throwing, it emits an electronic sound as well.
Yes, right. It's got electronic baitfish sound, and sound's a big deal to me. I'm a big believer in the hydro wave, that sound, calling fish up. I've seen Van Dam and, Crete and all the guys over the years, and I've been, right along with them all. I believe in it and have watched how fish turn on and how they react. So you put that same electronic baitfish sound inside your bait, and those fish hear a lot better than we do, and that little bit of sound emitting off that bait just draws the fish to strike, mm-hmm. And when you put that with that big wide wobble, this bait, we're naming it the Howler because of kind of a play on my name, just since I won a classic on it, I guess they couldn't come up with anything better, so they call it the Howler.
Uh-huh.
Mid-depth bait, it could hit those rocks 8 or 9 feet deep, and that's what we needed to get those fish to bite that day.
Well, Randy, it's a comeback for the ages, man. Like we said, the largest 2-day comeback in Bassmaster Classic history. And I'm sure you had to be feeling pretty good heading back to the weigh-in with 29-plus pounds in your live well on day 3.
Yeah, I tell you what, it was the best feeling of my life. I had a little bit of an idea that I had a chance at winning just because the camera guys had been riding back with me and all that. But when I cranked that Mercury up and run that 21 TRX Triton back to that ramp, I had all the confidence in the world I was going to make it back in there on time, and fish were going to be living good in those live wells, and I was going to have a chance to, you know, watch a dream come true. And then, you know, lo and behold, God bless me and it all happened.
Well, your overall three-day weight of 67 pounds, 8 ounces was good enough, my friend. Congratulations again. And folks can find you at randyhowellfishing.com. You're also on Facebook and Twitter as well.
That's right. Randy Howell Fishing on Facebook and B. Randy Howell on Twitter and Randy Howell Fishing also on Instagram. So y'all check me out. Got a lot of good info. And follow us along. Hopefully we'll have a great year representing the Classic Crown.
Well, yeah, and now that you've already qualified for next year's Classic as the defending champ, you can spend the 2014 Elite Series going after that Angler of the Year title.
That's right. That's my goal this year. I'm not laying back, and I'm going to keep fishing hard. I'm going to represent hard and work hard, but I'm going after that Angler of the Year goal this year, too. So I'd love to get back-to-back.
Well, Randy, thanks again, man. Congrats, and good luck this season.
I appreciate y'all having me. We'll see you next time.
All right, there he goes, our 2014 Bassmaster Classic champ, Randy Howell. That segment, by the way, proudly brought to you by Sendero Seed Company, Texas premier seed company. They've got anything and everything you need to keep your whitetail herd happy and healthy, including the Dr. Deer-backed Buck Forage Oats. Check them out at senderoseed.com or call my buddy Rob Hughes at 1-877-610-SEED today. Sendero Seed Company, for all your planting needs. Let's knock out a quick break. When we come back, with spring turkey on the horizon, we'll check in with our Texas Parks and Wildlife turkey program leader, Jason Harden. You're listening to Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show.
But you wrecked it all. You wrecked my heart. You wrecked our house and you wrecked my car. Left all the pieces scattered on.
Do you have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The System is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or visit www.goinfencing.com. That's goinfencing.com.
Hey, North Texas sports fans, this is Brian Spagnola, general manager of Texas Motor Cars in Addison. My family's been in the car business for over 50 years, and I want to show you the difference in buying from a family-owned and operated business. TexasMotorCars.com is an awesome website that lets you do virtually all of your shopping online. We have a professional photographer that takes amazing photos, and we give you all the information that you'll need up front. You can even find out how much we will give you for your trade-in before you ever come in. I take pride in the fact you can come in, choose a car, and be out in less than an hour. We have financing rates starting at 1.79% on pre-owned vehicles and can help almost anybody. Please do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a pre-owned vehicle of any kind, give us a shot. Let me show you how easy buying a vehicle should be. Visit TexasMotorCars.com or come visit our 20,000-square-foot indoor showroom in Addison. Again, visit TexasMotorCars.com or call us at 1-888-9-TX-MOTORS.
Hi, I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide. For more information, call 800-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-
BioBore EB is the premier gasoline additive that combats the negative effects ethanol has on an engine. Its comprehensive formula is designed to protect marine engines and marine environments, yet also works great in all 2- and 4-stroke engines. It prevents phase separation and ethanol-related engine problems while stabilizing fuel for 18 months. BioBore's detergents also clean the entire fuel system of carbon and varnishes. BioBore EB has the best treat rate in the industry. 1 ounce treats an amazing 15 gallons of gas. Available at your local sporting goods store or visit BioBore.com today.
6 a.m. when the sun starts peeking through the tall pine trees. They're filled with the sound of a box call that I can make sound so sweet. My cell phone's dead, I'm unaware if everything's up in flames. Or let it burn to ashes, I'm already through the front gate.
Lee,
Leave It at the Front Gate is the name of that one from our good friend and hunting buddy Justin Bowerman, bringing us back on Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, presented by Lone Star Beer and Hoff Power Polaris. I'm your host, Cable Smith. So glad to be here talking outdoors with you fine folks this morning as we're about to talk some spring turkey, something that always gets my blood flowing. But first, this segment of the show proudly brought to you by the beautiful Squaw Mountain Ranch in Jacksboro, Texas. I had the pleasure of hunting out there 2 weeks ago now and got a beautiful bull scimitar horned oryx on the ground with our CVA muzzleloader. Absolutely amazing place. They've got naturally reproducing herds of axis deer, oryx, addicts, black buck, fallow deer, you name it. Great lodging and accommodations, even a five-star chef. Visit smrhunts.com to book your next exotic trophy hunt today. Well, without further delay, let's go ahead and welcome our next guest. He's a longtime friend of the show. He's also our Texas Parks and Wildlife Turkey Program Leader, Jason Harden. Thanks for dropping in, good buddy.
Thanks, Cable. Glad to be back.
Always great to visit with you. I guess, first of all, Jason, did you have a chance to spend any time in the woods this past hunting season?
I did. I took my first Merriam's last spring. I got a pretty nice 8-point this past bow season and a couple of does, and took my daughter on her first deer hunt. She's 8 years old and took her first deer, so it was a real rewarding season for me.
Oh, man, it sounds like it, brother, and that is too cool. Now, I know you've been busy of late. We just had an Eastern turkey relocation and restocking effort that took place a couple weeks ago.
Sure. Back in 2007 and 2008, we initiated some research, and I think I've talked to you about this in the past, looking at super stocking, putting going to the, kind of the best habitats that we can find out in East Texas, and stocking 60 hens and 20 gobblers per site. We had three sites this year, and we've released a total of 240 birds. So we met our super stocking goals. We still want to put a couple more males out there, but we're pretty happy. We worked with six or seven different states this year to help provide us with the brood stock, the eastern birds. Pretty difficult to catch those in Texas, so we do rely on those states to help us out. And been real happy, real successful. We're putting some GPS transmitters on the back of those birds. We're hoping that's going to really pinpoint exactly what these birds are using and how they're using the landscape. Got the birds that we're just now releasing and looking at those birds that are resident birds now, but that were stocked in 07 and 08 that are really doing well now. So hoping to just continue to learn from our past efforts.
What's the average lifespan on a wild turkey, out of curiosity?
You know, you get over about 2.5 years, and that's probably about it. You know, a bird can live 10 years, no problem. But if you're in a population that's growing and you have hens out there reproducing, about a 2.5-year-old bird is probably about as old as they're going to get on average. Sitting on a nest is a pretty dangerous thing, and strutting toms is also a dangerous thing. Probably more for hunters than anything else, but there are other predators that can get them when they're wrapped up and trying to court that hen.
When they're love struck, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, it's just like you know, big mature bucks. The rut's that's why they get killed during the rut. But yeah, but obviously there are 4 or 5-year-old birds out there, and those are those ground draggers that hunters are always looking
absolutely
for.
So when I talk about the average, I'm just talking about you know, you have some that are going to die at 6 months, you have some that are going to die at 4 years. So we're just averaging that across.
Right.
But sure, you're going to see some big old toms, 4 or 5-year-old toms out there that big hooks on them, big thick beards. But definitely some big birds out there.
Well, we did get a good amount of rain in 2013, you know, relatively speaking, throughout a lot of the state. But the question is did we get it in a timely manner for turkey reproduction?
Absolutely. I was down in South Texas hosting the Southeastern Wild Turkey Working Group meeting, and it had been so dry down there. We did a tour of King Ranch and some other properties. It was just amazing just how little herbaceous vegetation was out there. It looked like the beach across most of that sand sheet. And it was really really depressing to be out there. Fortunately, by the time we were leaving was that last weekend of the spring season, and the rains finally came. And when you would expect production to be kind of the middle of that season, production didn't even start until two weeks after the end of the south zone season. And, you know, with these birds being so tied to rainfall, that's just the way it works. It's hard to set seasons because when it starts raining, a few weeks later is when the birds are going to get reproductively active. So we did see some production. It was late in the year, so we didn't get that long, drawn-out reproductive period, but we did get some production. So, again, not what we'd hoped for, but decent. And the further west you went, the drier it got. So you get out on the eastern panhandle in some of that country where the streams are still dry and the ponds are still dry, and it's not looking as promising to see a lot of jakes out there this year. But whenever you look at the eastern edge of the Rio Range, did pretty good. So kind of a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. We do expect to see a fair number of two-year-old birds out there, though.
Right,
which
right.
is always great, you know, going into the hunting season.
Oh, yeah. And, those are the easiest ones to trick. You know, considered basically a mature tom, but they're not quite as smart as those ones that make it to 3, 4, 5. And this is really their first go-round as far as breeding goes, too.
Yeah, yeah. This is the main push for those birds. And, again, they're going to be gobbling their heads off. There ought to be a good number of birds, so it ought to keep it exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then ought to have a fair number of those four-year-old birds, those 2010 birds. We had phenomenal production in 2010. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were saying they saw more poults in 2010 than any time before. So there should still be a good number of four-year-old toms out there.
Oh, yeah. I remember that was the spring of the Jake, no doubt about it. Jason, we've talked about the eastern birds doing well. Y'all just restocked 200 more of them. And, you know, you only have one eastern tag on your license, though. Well, you can kill up to 4 Rios. So tell us, if you had to pick some hot spots, you know, where would you be going if you could go anywhere in the state to hunt Rios?
Sure. If I had my choice where I'm going to kind of that central hill country area, even up to around Menard, Mason County. That country in there is just loaded with birds. So you can go into any place in that the hill country, and you're going to be covered up in birds. You know, Kerr County, Menard, all the way down to Hayes. There's just a lot of birds out there. If I had my second choice, I'm looking up just north of that, out west of Fort Worth area, over in that Cross Timbers country, and the eastern rolling plains. And that's just a favorite for me.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever get the option to go hunt in that sand sheet down in the Oakmont country down in South Texas, that's right up on top of the list as well. But the hill country, if you know the dogwoods, I mean the blue bonnet is blooming, and just the scenery of the hill country, it's hard to beat it.
Mm-hmm.
We annually harvest more birds in the hill country than any place else in Texas. So that's usually a pretty good indication of population levels.
Right, right. Well, Jason, there are some public hunting opportunities here in Texas. If you want to chase eastern birds, the Caddo National Grasslands has some of them. And then, obviously, there's quite a few WMAs throughout the state. Some you can hunt throughout the season. Others you have to put in for a draw. But there are opportunities out there.
Places like Pat Mays, WMA. The Sabine National Forest is open all season. Again, that's going to be pretty tough in limited numbers. So there are some public hunting opportunities in East Texas, as well as out in the Rio Grande Range.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of our draw hunts have already taken place, but you can still do standby on places like the Matador WMA, the Gene Howe, the Daughtry.
You can hunt the LBJ grasslands.
LBJ is open. It's open for the entire month of the year. We're doing some research out there right now and looking at how birds are using that landscape. And the mm-hmm. National Wild Turkey Federation is about to start a big habitat management project out there. So we're hoping it improves turkey habitat on that country.
Yeah, yeah. And I absolutely love that country. I won't be hunting the grasslands more than likely, but I am going to be hunting in Jack County, which is right in that area.
Well, Jack County is part of that Cross Timbers country, and it's so diverse in there from LBJ down to Jack County, even further down. Shackelford and some of those counties in there, you can really go from that rolling plains to hill country to post oak kind of country all within just a few miles. And the birds do pretty well.
So, Jason, the moment of truth now, your fearless forecast for all the turkey hunters out there and what they can expect to see this spring.
Well, I'm thinking we're going to have an above average season because we do have a fair number of two-year-old birds out there. Should keep it interesting. Have a fair number of those 4-year-old birds from 2010 hatch. So I'm looking forward to it. I plan to be out in the woods, and I would recommend anybody who likes a turkey hunt to get out because this is going to be a good season.
Well, Jason, we wish you a great season. Thanks again for your time today. Definitely we'll be keeping tabs on how this restocking effort goes with those eastern turkeys. So thanks a lot for all your department does, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
I'd like to get one little plug in. We have a new system available for checking eastern turkeys. You know, traditionally you've always had mandatory checking for your eastern turkeys. We're going to have a website available moving forward, and as well as a check station app, so you can on your smartphone check your eastern turkey, as well as voluntarily check any resident game animal, and also a website available. So instead of trying to find that check station, one or two check stations per county, you can go on your smartphone or go home and call your wife and have her enter in that information for you.
Perfect.
We're trying to do something more user-friendly for our hunters out there.
Awesome. Well, we certainly appreciate it. Jason, take care, buddy.
Thanks, Cable.
All right. Great stuff there, as usual, with our Texas Parks and Wildlife Turkey Program Leader, Jason Harden. Well, we do need to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll get into something that's not for the faint of heart, that's for sure. The dogs have got their cut collars and Kevlar on. They're chomping at the bit. We're going hog dogging with Two Rivers Hunting Adventures. You're listening to Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Howdy, folks. I'm Lee Hoffair for Hoffair's Outdoor Superstore in Goldthwaite, Texas. We hope you love listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show, because we do, and we're proud to be a title sponsor. Now, listen up. We here at Hoffair Outdoor Superstore have got some great deals for you folks that love the great outdoors. Whether you're needing a brand new Polaris ATV or maybe a Polaris Ranger to ride around, check your deer feeders, get to and from the deer blind, maybe to get you down to the dove patch, whatever your needs are, we can fix you up with a brand new Polaris today. Now, we're also a New Holland tractor and equipment dealer. Now, I'm just speculating, but maybe you need a new tractor and shredder to shred around your deer blinds, maybe clean up around deer camp, or maybe even shred a few lanes in those sunflower patch. Now, we've got lots more than just Polaris and New Holland, so come check us out today, Hoffair's Outdoor Superstore in Goldthwaite, Texas. You can check us out on the web at hpolaris.com. Better yet, just come see us. Highway 84 West in Goldthwaite, Texas, and in Central Texas for over 48 years now. And folks, we couldn't have stuck around this long. We were steering you wrong.
You wouldn't take a mule to the Kentucky Derby, and you wouldn't go swimming with your boots on. So why do folks wear mossy green camo to hunt the Great Southwest? Game Guard Camouflage is celebrating 10 years of putting hunters undercover in the rugged Texas terrain. Owner Craig Smith invites you to visit a dealer near you to check out the full line of hunting apparel, caps, bags, coolers, gun cases, dove hunting belts, and the newly designed microfiber shirts. Available in 13 different colors. So whether you're hunting, camping, fishing, or just enjoying the great outdoors, Game Guard has you covered. Visit GameGuard.net to find a dealer near you or call 888-381-4263. Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
He said he ain't no hound, he's a blackmouth cur. He'll do what you got in mind. He gonna tree any coon or catch any hog, pin any steer in sight. He'll watch over your youngins and defend them until he breathes his last breath. Now I've seen a few dogs in my day, but I ain't seen no.
Cable Smith welcoming everybody back to Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, presented by Lone Star Beer and Hoff Power Polaris. This segment is proudly brought to you by SpectraShot White Lightning Turkey Loads. And that tune, by the way, pretty appropriately titled. Blackmouth Cur is the name of that one, from Justin Bowerman. As we're about to talk some hog dogging with a couple fellas I had the absolute pleasure of hunting with last week. And I crossed that old Red River and headed north into Oklahoma to join Chris Wilson and Cassidy Ballantine of Two Rivers Hunting Adventures. Fellas, great to have you with us on the show this morning.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Yeah, good to be here this morning.
Well, certainly my pleasure. And fellas, before we get into our hunting experience from last weekend, why don't y'all tell us about your background in raising and running hog dogs? And Cassidy, we'll start with you.
I got started when I was 9 years old. My grandpa had been doing it for 30-some-odd years, and he's kind of pulled me in along with him. And I've been doing it ever since. Got my first dogs when I was 12 years old. Had dogs ever since then, so it's in my blood and always will be. Always been doing it.
And what about you, Chris?
I kind of got started in it out of necessity, really. We had to run a farm and ranch like we did, and experiencing the crop damage that them hogs can do. We kind of got started running dogs and needing them just to protect our crops. And that's actually how I met Cassidy. You know, we'd get dogs that wouldn't work or something, and we'd have to call Cassidy and his grandpa to come run them, because our dogs was hurt or they wasn't there to do it themselves. It kind of grew to where we were having to go to our neighbors' places because their places were getting eaten up by hogs too. Kind of grew into where we've got about access to about 10,000 acres of land that allows us to help our neighbors protect their crops and their pastures. And it also allows us to get our clients on, you know, on a hog almost every time we go out.
Yeah, and I mean, we can't overemphasize the importance of controlling these hogs in y'all's community. You're farmers. That's what you do for a living. And when Chris, like you told me on our hunt, that hogs came in recently and destroyed 30 acres that y'all had just planted with corn, and boom, that was $27,000 just down the drain because of these feral hogs.
Yeah, and they actually hit our neighbors that same night worse than that. They tore up 90 acres on our neighbor's place. You look at that, that's over 100 acres in one night, a replant. That could break a farmer.
No doubt. Well, Cassidy, you know, like you said, you've been doing this your entire life. So just talking about the dogs here for a second, because they're the stars of the show. You know, couldn't hunt hogs this way without them. So what trait is the most desirable in a good bay dog? I don't know if it's their nose, their tenacity, maybe their smarts.
You want a dog to have a good nose. You know, a lot of dogs are hot nose, a lot of dogs are cold nose. Everybody's different. I like a dog that's got a medium nose on him. Dog's got a lot of bite. You want a dog that if a hog runs 10 miles, he's going to be on his trail until he gets him stopped or the hog stops himself, you know. And then you want your dog to be clean. And by clean, I mean sit back 5-6 yards and bay till you get there. Not, you don't want a rough dog, which is trying to fight the hog or bite at him or something and make it all break, you know. It just makes it harder hunt. So pretty much you want a dog that's got about a medium nose and a lot of bottom to him. You want a clean baying dog.
And you guys actually run a mix of Catahoula and Kerr crosses. And I imagine that's because you want the best of both worlds. And I don't know if Catahoulas have a better nose and Kerrs have more fight in them.
In every breed, there's good dogs and bad dogs. And there's some Catahoulas that can smell better than a Kimmer or a Mountain Kerr. There's some Kimmers that smell better than a Catahoula, and some Kimmers smell better than a hound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just got to hunt them and see which one's got the better nose and which one's got the more down on him and more bottom or everything you want them.
Right, right. And, yeah, y'all had one bay dog, I think his name was Jake, who is a Catahoula Kerr cross. And this dog, you know, like any good bay dog, find the trail, get on that hog's trail, and he wouldn't start barking until he had a visual of that pig.
Right, he's completely silent, and like I said back earlier, you want a medium nose dog. It's Jake dog's got a medium nose on him, and he will hunt. He's not real long range. He's about a medium range dog. He'll range out 500-600 yards just looking for sign. Once he gets on a track, then that's all he needs. He's got a lot of bottom to him. He'll take that track 3 miles
mm-hmm.
if he's got to. But if he barks, he's dang sure looking at a pig, and then that's when you need to get there at the Bulldogs.
Right, and as soon as he barks, you know, that's when the cavalry comes in as far as the rest of the bay dogs. If they're not already with him, then they head in that direction and help bay that hog until you get there with the catch dogs. And I got to tell you, I was glad that y'all were running two catch dogs because when I saw the size of that boar and, you know, knew what I was up against with just that knife, it made me a little more comfortable.
Well, down here where we hunt on the river, we got all this farmland down here, and these hogs get big. And there's a lot of bars down here too, which is a cut hog, got his testicles cut out. Hmm. And these hogs down here rank. And a lot of times, sometimes you need three bulldogs. And we don't ever cut a bulldog loose by itself unless we just got to, you know, if one's cut down or sick or something like that. But most of the time we use two bulldogs, and that's how we do it down here.
Right, and if anybody wants to check out the video of our hunt and what the definition of fearless looks like, you can check out the YouTube video. It's on our website. We've got a link on our Facebook page as well. But when y'all cut the catch dogs loose, they make a beeline right for that boar's face. And when I say boar, we're talking about a pretty big animal here, 250 pounds at least.
Yeah, it's a good one for sure.
So they're trained to go right towards that hog's face and grab onto its ear. Unfortunately, that's the most dangerous part. Like we said, a big boar might have 3-4-inch cutters. And so the sad reality is catch dogs don't have a very long lifespan, you know, as far as hunting dogs are concerned.
Well, not as long as you'd like them to. Not near as long as a bay dog or something like that. Just because of the fact that
you know, they're trained to catch hogs on it here. They're trained to catch hogs for us, you know, that way we can get there and leg them and do what we need to do. But like I said, a bulldog's going to go in there and catch on the ear. That's what ours are trained to do. And that's out there in the danger zone. Because when them dogs are caught like that hog's still slinging his head side to side trying to knock them bulldogs off. And if you get on one of them bars, sometimes them bar hogs got four of his teeth on them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we vest them up, suit them up best we can. But, you know, you can't ever tell what fate holds in store for them.
Yep, yep. Well, one of my favorite things about hog dogging is that it's a very social sport. I think there was six or seven of us the other day, and you know, you're walking around in the woods talking, visiting, and then, you know, once the bay dog goes off, then everybody takes off running in that direction. And I know that you guys don't dispatch all of the hogs like you used to. Y'all sell them alive and supplement your income that way. But as far as when you take clients out, they can choose to stab them and dispatch them, or they can tie them up themselves. It's really up to them, and you guys will cater to whatever they want.
Right, right. We let you tie them up alive, or if he's a good one, if you ever want to stab them or whatever, you know, stab them with a spear or knife or whatever. We don't want no guns around, just for the safety of dogs and us and everybody else there.
Well, like we said, I was intent on dispatching the hog with a knife, and this boar, you know, when we came up on him, though, it was a little nerve-wracking when Cassidy, who does this all the time, goes, "Oh, man, that's a big boar." And you can hear him say that on the video.
Yeah, I seen his hair bristled up on his back. I'm like, yeah. But, and the first thing, I could smell him, you know. Walking up in there, you can smell that boar hog. I've been doing it long enough. If I got a real stout smell to them, you know, most of the time they're pretty good.
Well, I know I couldn't smell anything. It's probably because it was 15 degrees outside. But, you know, the bottom line is, within a minute, it was all over. You know, the hog was dead. It's a pretty humane way to dispatch them, really, when you talk about running an 8-inch blade into their pump station. And you're aiming for the vitals just like you would with archery equipment or a rifle. But like we talked about earlier, guys, y'all do this out of necessity. It's a passion and a hobby. And now you've turned it into a successful outfitting business. And if folks want to book a hunt, they can find you on Facebook at Two Rivers Hunting Adventures. And then, Chris, I believe y'all are also working on a website.
We're going to try to get us a .com going here pretty soon. Right now, just, you know, Facebook starting out, that was the easiest thing to do, and it's working out pretty well on its own. You know, starting out, this was just, like you say, a hobby and
a way of life
and a necessity mm-hmm. for us. And, you know, now it's kind of grown to where it's probably showing potential to be a, you know, another source of income and another way for us to diverse out. I think it's got a lot of opportunity and room for growth here.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And you guys, y'all hunt in just absolute prime habitat for feral hogs. I mean, between the red and blue river bottoms, essentially, that's y'all's home range. That's why, you know, hence the name Two Rivers Hunting Adventures. And, you know, it's also great deer habitat with all that agriculture. I was just looking at, you know, some of the racks that y'all had displayed in the barn, and my goodness, y'all have some nice bucks out there. I mean, 140s to 170s, no problem. And I believe y'all are going to start outfitting some deer hunts next year as well.
We're looking at expanding and trying to get, you know, some deer hunts in, and we're even talking about expanding out on some fishing trips in the Red and Blue Rivers. We're looking at growing this as in any direction that it can grow. I mean, even predator hunting. You know, we're overloaded with coyotes down there in that river bottom too. So,
yeah.
Like I said, there's a lot of room to grow here, and we really think it's going to.
Well, myself and my friend Luke, we just had an absolute blast hunting with you guys. Y'all put us on a ginormous boar, the biggest hog I've ever killed by any means, you know, bow, rifle, or otherwise. And I can't recommend y'all highly enough. Amazing dog work. I mean, that's what these dogs are bred to do. They want to hunt, and it definitely shows.
Oh, yeah. They get depressed and keep them in a pen.
That's the truth. Well, hey, Chris Cassidy, enjoyed hunting with you guys. Y'all are a couple good old boys. I can't wait till our next trip, and I'm looking forward to this new friendship.
Yeah, we're ready for you to come back.
Take care, guys.
You too.
Thank you.
All right, there they go. Chris Wilson and Cassidy Ballantyne of Two Rivers Hunting Adventures. Also, one of the other guys who was there hunting with us that day, one of their friends, Jeremy Wall. I do want to mention he's got the Bochito Hog Bay coming up on May 3rd. That's going to be in Bochito, Oklahoma. Going to be a great event. If you want to test the mettle of your bay dog, bring him on out there. And then after the competition, The Chase Sanford Band, a great red dirt band, will be providing live music and entertainment. So head on out there May 3rd, Bochito Hog Bay. Unfortunately, that's going to do it for today. We are flat out of time. Thanks to Chris and Cassidy, as well as our other guests today, our Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director, Robin Rikers, our Texas Parks and Wildlife Turkey Program Leader, Jason Harden, 2014 Bassmaster Classic Champion, Randy Howell. We appreciate all their contributions. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show. Until next time, I'm Cable Smith saying, y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
Where them boys from Oklahoma roll their joints all wrong. They're too damn skinny, or way too long. Well, I ain't a holy roller, so I just use a bone. Them boys from Oklahoma roll their joints all wrong.